Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for another moment in your presence to hear your word. We ask that your power and your grace be released. We ask that you bless both hearer and speaker in the name of Jesus. In the end, let the glory be yours and let the blessings be ours. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Do only what you do best. Teach, guide, instruct, correct, rebuke, transform. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So last week, we began to talk about, or let me say, we continue speaking about divine health. And we discussed divine health in itself, and I gave about 10 points on how to live by divine health. And I promised also last week that this week I will be taking a topic, and to the glory of God, I'm able to speak on that topic to us today. Hallelujah. So without wasting time, we have a lot to cover. I'll be speaking on a topic I have titled Divine Protection. Divine Protection. Hallelujah. Okay. The EU, or the matter of security, is a very, very serious and rising challenge in our world today. And more than ever before, it has become very, very important that we are protected. Hallelujah. It is our nation, our community. Evil is on the, it's rising. It's on serious rising, and you know, people are devising more ways to do evil. And like it's written in the introduction, in the opening, we said, in the caption, I mean, we said there are arrows flying in the day. In fact, not only in the day is arrows flying, arrows are even flying in the night. And you know, terror that was only meant to be at the night is even taking over the day now. So either day or night, there is no safety. There is no safety. There was a, I think, while I was traveling on Monday, we got a report of a woman that was kidnapped. This woman was on bike, for God's sake. She was on bike, just going in a neighborhood, and she was picked up, kidnapped. You know. And eventually, after much begging, the whole family had to raise, after negotiating and begging and weeping and crying and all kinds of things, the family had to raise 600,000 naira to save this woman. This is not, this is something that happened to someone very, someone that knows someone close to me. You know? So you see, whether big or small, rich or poor, no one is spared from evil happening all around. And while it is important for us to be careful, we also cannot be careful enough. I pray that the Lord will teach us to do in the name of Jesus. So this is why we need some special intervention in the area of protection. If you are healthy and you are not protected, your safety is not yet complete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just, I think just 2 days ago, someone who left where I was staying just to travel, as in he left us just to travel, a pastor left just to travel, and on his way he had a very fatal accident. Thank God he was saved. But then he sent us picture about 2 persons died instantly. And somebody that just left where I was staying, just like that. He could have gone, if not for God's intervention too. So I don't need to beat this this urgency more than this. We all know, we all live in this, we all live in this generation, we all live here together. We all know what is going on in our society. Everywhere, Some places are, of course, more dangerous than other places. But in the society we are today, nobody is safe. Hallelujah. And there's no point going on to what caused that or why that came to be. But we know that this is the EU that we are facing. Hallelujah. So you see, if you have divine health and you don't learn how to take advantage of God's divine protection also, you may find out that one lousy accident, one lousy mistake, one fatal incident will steal your peace. Even your body will lose peace, your spirit will lose peace, your body will lose peace, and eventually even your divine health may seem to not be relevant in that situation. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So quickly, I'm going to be speaking on divine protection, and we are going to be learning from Jesus. Being our perfect example, we'll be learning from Jesus, and I want you all to pay very, very good attention and listen very carefully. This teaching is going to really, really, really change your life. So we'll be learning from Jesus, and today I'll be giving us about three ways through which Jesus stayed safe. If there was anybody who was a threat to people in his day and age, it was Jesus. Right from the word go of his ministry, they were planning how they would kill him. Right from the word go, several attempts were made on his life. But despite all of those, he was unkillable. Like we say when in school, he was unpayable. They couldn't kill him. Hallelujah. So we'll be learning about three ways through which Jesus kept himself alive, kept himself protected, kept himself safe. Hallelujah. So before we go, let's read John chapter 17. John 17, verse 23. I must establish something very quickly. Because Jesus was speaking, he said, I in them, John 17, verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Can you see that? Jesus is speaking to his Father. If you have read John 17, you know that is where Jesus was speaking to his Father and praying for his disciples. And he made a very remarkable statement. He said, he was speaking to God. He said, thou hast loved them. He said, I want the world to know that you have loved them just the way you have loved me. So Jesus is saying the exact same kind of love his Father has for him is the exact type of love that the Father has for us, his children. Hallelujah. And what does that tell us? Everything that is available to Jesus in the Father is also available to us. That's why the Bible calls us joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with him because everything he inherited, we inherited it together. Every right and privilege he has in the Father, he brought all of us into it. That's why John cried out. He said, oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we may be called his children. So that is a revelation you need to first lay hands on. But if you don't lay hands on this revelation, everything I'm sharing today, you'll be seeing that Shebi is Jesus. Shebi is Jesus now. It's Jesus. It's not me. Hallelujah. So I'm showing you this so that you understand that every privilege available to Jesus is also available to you as long as you are a child of God. Hallelujah. So you need to settle this completely in your heart. So when I'm telling you the way Jesus kept himself alive, you will be able to see yourself keeping yourself alive through these very means. Because just like God is his Father, God is also your Father. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.
Okay. So number one, the number one way Jesus kept himself alive is what I have called faith in the covenant of time and life. Faith in the covenant of time and life. John chapter 7 verse 30. John chapter 7 verse 30. Let's read it. Bible says, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him. Why? Because his hour was not yet come. Can you see that? They tried to kill him, but they could not kill him because his time has not yet come. Hallelujah. His time had not yet come. Then in Luke chapter 22, verse 53 and 54, the Bible says, now, Jesus was speaking to them. He said, now the hour has come. Hallelujah. So what are we trying to pick out from here is to understand that Jesus had a very strong faith and firm belief in the fact that he has an appointed time to die. He has an appointed place to die. Hallelujah. And he has a firm belief that he cannot be killed before his time, and he cannot die outside the place he was destined to die. Hallelujah. So before you start saying, that is Jesus, that's why I read it to you earlier, that if a privilege is available to Jesus, it's also available to you. So before you say that, well, that was Jesus, I've been speaking about this repeatedly. It's just that now we are dealing with this in a more deliberate format. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. So that you not say it's just Jesus that had the privilege of knowing when it was time to die. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Verse 6. Let's read from verse 6. It says, for now, I am now ready to be offered. Can you see that? That's Paul. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So Paul is saying, all along, I wasn't ready to die. I wasn't ready. I hope you know they stoned him twice. He didn't die. They tried to kill him repeatedly. He couldn't die. You know? But now he said, now I am ready to be offered. It means I am ready now to die. How many people die today? And they can say fully before they die that I am ready to die. And you know, in previous teachings, I have rebooked and debunked all ideas where somebody had an accident and died, and then we say God took him, or somebody just sleep and doesn't wake up and we say God took him. And I said, it has no basis in scripture. Everybody who God took knew God was going to take them. Most of them communicated with people around them that God is going to take me. Just like we see here in the letter of Paul. He said, I am ready to be offered. My time has come. I'm good to go. And then they went on and cut off his head, and it's done. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So it was, despite if there was any apostle that suffered, that passed through a lot of near-death experience, it was Paul. And despite all of that, Paul grew old before he died. In Philemon chapter 1 verse 9, he referred to himself as Paul the aged. Like, I am Paul, an old man. Hallelujah. As troublesome as he was, as violent and bold as he was, as resilient and fearless as he was, he still lived up till old age. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. 2 Peter 1 verse 14. I've been speaking about this, but I've never showed you all in scripture where it really is. 2 Peter chapter 1. Sorry, 2 Peter 1, verse 14. Peter was speaking. He said, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Can you see that? Those are people you should follow. Don't follow the man of God that had an accident and died, and you say that is your mentor. You can follow him in every other area, but in the way to die, don't follow him. Turn back. Follow Peter. He said, knowing that shortly I must put off this my body, just as the Lord has shown me. God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for Peter, if he did it for Paul, he can do it for you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. And time will fail me to show you several other people in scripture who died like this. They died ready and prepared. God sent message to some people. Put your house in order. It's time to die. That's how God takes people. Moses climbed up the mountain when he was ready to die. God told him, oh yeah, it's time for you to die. When Aaron was ready to die, God told him, Aaron, it's time for you to die. Oh yeah, choose somebody in your stead. Oh, now, oh yeah, lie down, go and die. And that was how Aaron died. I hope you know that. God told Aaron, it's time for you to die. And then he anointed somebody else in his stead, put everything in order, as in finished everything he was meant to do, lie down quietly and died. Moses, the same thing. Joshua, the same thing. Jacob, the same thing. The list can go on and on. David went to battle, fought. Maybe if you have seen movies where you see the way they fight in those days, you will wonder, you will understand that there was no way a man could have fought so much battle and still remain alive if not by the power of God. Fought several battles. One strange arrow can just hit you and you just die. Fought several battles. Despite that fact, he died at home quietly. When it was time for him to die, everybody knew that he was ready to die. He chose somebody else in his position, ensured that Solomon became king before he passed on. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. The list goes on and on and on like that. So you must have a covenant. You must understand, you must believe in the covenant of time and life. A covenant that says, I have an appointed time to die. And when that time comes, I will know. You know, this popular teaching that your Jesus can come anytime. Your Jesus can come anytime. You can use that to scare an unbeliever, but not a child of God. If Jesus is coming for a child of God, it's meant to be a comfort. It's meant to make you happy, not make you afraid, not make you overly careful on the way you act or the way you do or the way you talk. So that your Jesus can come anytime means that you can die at any time. Die carelessly or sheepishly like a chicken. And this mindset is wrapped around our minds. And this mindset wrapped around our mind has produced that reality. And we have people who also die sheepishly around us. And we ourselves, we are on our way to dying the same way. Except we change our mindset and understand that there is a provision in Christ Jesus. Even about the coming of Christ, the Bible says, you should not be ignorant of the time he's going to come. He told you, this is when I'm going to come. The old world may not know when, but you, when you see this, know that I'm about to come. But if it's about dying, you have no way to know when you're going to die. Just die. Just travel and have accident and die. Something is wrong with that mindset. About the coming of Christ, Jesus prepared us. The apostles prepared us. They told us things to look out for. Jesus said, when you see the abomination that brings desolation, stand in the holy place. He says, no, that the time has come. He said, when you see earthquake, go and read that place very well. Matthew 21. Matthew 24, not 21. It's in Luke 21. He says, when you see earthquakes, nation rise against nations, pestilence, he said, the time has not yet come. I don't know why people don't read their Bibles. He said, when you see these things, they are, it's just the end is about to come, but it is still very far. It has not yet come. Calm down. He says, now the gospel will be preached to everyone in the world. Then make that powerful statement. When you see the abomination that brings desolation sitting in the holy place, let he that have our ears understand. So then, he said, it's right at the corner. That's, it's almost here. So don't, when you see that, don't even plan again. Don't try to build. If you want to build as before, stop the house building. If you are planning to go to school before, don't go to school again. Just know that the end is about to come and put yourself together. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So you see, the mindset that your Jesus can come anytime without you knowing, it's not found in scriptures. Bible says no one knows the exact time, but Jesus said these are signs that will show you that it is near. And the same thing goes for dying. And it is the rapture that you may not know the exact time, but people in scripture knew exact time they were going to die. Have you read the way Jacob died? He said, oh ye sons of Jacob, gather unto me. They gathered. Reuben, you are the beginning of my strength, the excellency of my might. You shall not prosper. He caused that one, bless this one, caused that one, bless this one. When he was done, he said, please take my bones from this place. Don't allow my bones to rest here. You hear me? Because I want to die now. Take note. And what did he do? The Bible says he laid on his bed, carried his leg, put it together, and died. That's how to die. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Psalm 92 verse 12 to 14. The righteous has a covenant of old age. You see this? Somebody lives, dies at 12. Then I've seen people make that argument. You know? They say things like, he died fulfilled. I don't understand where people get those mindsets from. Those mindsets, they don't come from scripture. Because somebody lived, impacted lives, and died, then you feel he died fulfilled. How will you know somebody died fulfilled if you don't know what was written concerning that person? It is all the mindset that God controls everything. He couldn't have died if God didn't know about it. And we cannot capture that in this teaching. Hallelujah. But every person that died young, they knew they were going to die. That fulfilled their destiny and died. Somebody like John the Baptist, he was done. He had one single purpose. He fulfilled that purpose and he was ready to die. Hallelujah. Jesus was the same. Died at 33. John the Baptist would have died maybe around 30 or thereabout, also 30 plus. Hallelujah. And if there's anybody like that, you know, child of God, believer that died young, without knowing, without, died in the hands of wickedness, or in the hands of a failed government, in the hands of a bad road, in the hands of a reckless driver, in the hands of sickness, in the hands of terminal diseases, terminal sickness. You say God took him. That's not how God takes people. We know how God takes people. Hallelujah. If the only evil way a child of God is permitted to die is in the hands of persecution. I think I need to just state that. The only evil way, you know, they can cut your head. It's okay. That's
That's a beautiful death in the sight of God. Hallelujah. They can throw you inside the fire and you burn to death. That will be beautiful. That God will give you the grace to take it with joy. You won't do it scared. You do it with joy. Go and read Fox's book of Matthias. Matthias died with joy. Because at that moment when it's about to happen, their spirit is already raptured. They are not here anymore. They are already seeing the world beyond. So instead of crying and weeping, they died singing. They died joyful. The children of the lions, they died with joy. The lion was tearing their head and tearing their eyes out, and they were still singing and still joyful. So dying by persecution is in no way an evil death as far as scripture is concerned. It's a beautiful death. And persecution would mean that you died because you maintained your stand for Jesus. Not because fooling headsmen attack you on the road and kill you. That would not be a persecution, a death by persecution. Even if they are Muslims, it still doesn't make it persecution. But if you have to make a stand between God and the devil, between Christ and something else, and then you died for that sake, that's persecution. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Our time is fast spent. You are seeing number one. Psalm 92. I wonder if you read Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12 to 14. Psalm 92, okay, sorry. Psalm 92, okay. From verse 12 to 14. It says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. So we have a covenant in God to still continue to bless life, still be fruitful, still multiplying even at old age. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Only someone like Jesus, of course, needed just 3.5 years of ministry. He didn't need more than that. His ministry was accomplished. He was done. Hallelujah. I hope you know that James died sheepishly too. James, the brother of John. It was when they killed him that Herod took Peter and they said, hey, no, we won't let it be. The church would have folded their hands and said, let the will of the Lord be done. And then they killed Peter too. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 17. It's a scripture you must keep close to your heart. Some of the scriptures you may need to go and read them yourself and know them by heart. It says, I shall not die. Psalm 118, verse 17. But I shall live. And what will I be doing living? To declare the glory of the Lord upon the land of the living. Hallelujah. So you have a purpose for being alive. When you are done fulfilling that purpose, you will know. Then there is nothing else you are doing on earth when you are done. But not when you just started, you die. Hallelujah. God ordained you probably for nations. You've only impacted your time. You died. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So it's important that we reorientate our minds. We need to place our faith in that covenant that there's a time I am appointed to die, just like Jesus, and no one can kill me before that time. There's a time Herod sent to Jesus that I'm coming to kill you. Jesus said, you can't kill me. Say, I'm going to die in Jerusalem. Say, I am going to die. Not only did he know when he was going to die, he knew where he was going to die. He said, I'm going to die in Jerusalem. So you can't kill me here. You can't kill me here around Samaria. I don't know exactly where he was then. You can't kill me. So he must have that kind of firm belief and say, no one can kill me before my time. If they shoot a gun at me, it will not hurt me. That's what I believe. Because I can't die before my time.
You can't kill me. I can't die in an accident. I can't die in an auto crash. I can't die in a plane crash. I can't die on the sea. I can't die on land. I can't die in the air. You say you are proud. Are you bigger than those that died? Don't say anything about being big or being small. Hallelujah. I'm talking about what God says about me. If you believe you can die anyhow, I've told you, please just switch off the teaching and go and die the way you like. You are entitled to believe whatever you want, and it will be so unto you. But Matthew 9:29, the Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to my faith, be it unto me. And I've seen a promise in scripture, and I decide to lay hold on it and claim it for myself. And you say, you are being proud, are you big, are you small, and you are trying to think anything you like in your mind, when you are entitled to your opinion, I am entitled to mine. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Matthew 9:23, the Bible says, all things are possible to them that believe. So I can't die. Lest Satan shoot his best shot at me, I can't die. Hallelujah. Because I am protected. Because I have a covenant of life. God has not shown me when I'm going to die yet. It means it's still far. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. He hasn't shown me yet, so it means it's still far. When it is time for me to die, God will show it. I would know it. Because Jesus knew it. Peter knew it. Paul knew it. Moses knew it. Aaron knew it. Several men of old knew it. I choose to be one of them. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 82 verse 6 and 7 is a scripture I've quoted repeatedly, where it says, I have said that ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. The next verse says, but you will die like men and fall like princes. If you fail to take your position, to lay hold on it, on eternal life, on the abundant life available in Christ Jesus, you will die like a pig. Hallelujah. I hope you know that all the confidence I have in talking like this is the word of God. Hallelujah. That is the only confidence I have to be able to talk like this, is because I believe that God does not lie. If God removes his hand from my life just in 1 second, or if there's tendency for God's word to fail by 1 second, then I may even die where I'm standing. Hallelujah. But because the word of God, the Bible says, endures forever. It says the earth may pass away, the heavens may pass away, but the smallest of my word will not pass away. If God's word cannot pass away, then no death can kill me before my time. Can you say that about yourself? Say, as long as the word of God cannot pass away, no death can kill me before my time. I am protected. I can't be kidnapped. I can't be killed. My children cannot be killed. My properties are secured. My family is secured. How? They are secured in Christ Jesus. Not because we are big, not because we are better, but because we have a covenant in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's not your duty to explain why a man of God that is more holier than you, why they die. Please. That never make that your responsibility. Don't even try to ask the question. Because a revered man of God, fire speaking, died in a plane accident, or died in a car accident, you now begin to use that one to judge yourself and say, if such a man of God can die, what is my fate? Don't try to explain. You don't have business with the life of someone else. Jesus said it in the Bible. He said some people died mysteriously. The Bible says, is it Pilate or Herod? Mix their blood, you know, use them for sacrifice. Jesus said, you think it's because they are worse or because they are better? That's why they died like that. So don't take responsibility. It's not your duty to explain why somebody died. Please, don't try to explain it. You don't know. Every angle you turn to try to explain it, you may even commit sin. Why try to explain why somebody died? You have responsibility over yourself, over your family, over your loved ones. Those are the ones you have 100% right over in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So please and please, lay hold on the promises of God. Claim them. You have example. Bible says, all these men of God, they are giving to us as examples. Examples to follow. If God can do something in their life, we have assurance that he can do it also in ours. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Jesus told Pilate, he said, you cannot have any power over me. You can't. No one can have any power over you except it's given from above. If you are in Christ Jesus, outside Christ Jesus, people can kill you. They can kill you before your time. Any bad thing can happen to you. You may say, well, it's ignorance. Very fat and big ignorance. I've said it in some teachings earlier that you don't need to be super smart to know that God is not the one running the earth. You don't need to. I don't understand how people think. You don't need to be smart to know that God is not the one running the earth. It's not. So when the way people react to things is just quite funny. So a vehicle had an accident, a plane of about 200 people had an accident. Everybody on board died. They say God, if God did not know about it, it would not happen. Trying to make God responsible for every evil that happened on earth. They say God is in control of the whole earth. Everything is in his power. He's the one controlling everything. He's the one even controlling Satan himself. If you don't understand things, sit down, think, and ask questions. Because sometimes we don't think with our brains. We religiously explain things away, but if we ask intelligent questions, we'll get intelligent answers from the Word of God. Hallelujah. We know where God is reigning. We know it. God is reigning in heaven. Have you ever heard that there was a plane crash in heaven? Eh? Or maybe there are no plane. there were no plane. But then, one angel beat the other one. And they were beating themselves seriously. Hallelujah. The only angel that messed up in heaven was sent out. Because Jesus said, this God said, this one, you don't want to be... You don't want to be under control, so get out. So God is the one ruling in heaven. Hallelujah. He's the one ruling in heaven. That's why there is peace and harmony. That's why when you die and you go there, that's the end of your problem. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more pain. But right down here, God is not ruling you. I'm sorry if that one sound absurd to you. I've shown that in some scriptures where it was clearly stated that God is not ruling the earth. But that's not what we're talking about today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you put your life in the hands of God properly, then nobody will have power over you without your time, your appointed time. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So, the first way Jesus kept himself alive is through the covenant of time and life. And that covenant says, I am appointed to live and I am appointed to die. But I am appointed to die at a time specific. And when that time is about to come, God will let me know. It's about time. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, second way, how did Jesus keep himself alive? Apart from that covenant that made him sure and so sure that I cannot die before my time, what else did he employ to keep himself alive? And I've called this number two way, wisdom. Hallelujah. Some of us don't know that Jesus kept himself alive by wisdom. Ha. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Luke 18:31. For long, Jesus knew they wanted to kill him in Jerusalem. So for a long time, he avoided Jerusalem. Because that is where the main evil, where the killers, where they really is. So eventually in Luke 18:31, he said, it's time to go to Jerusalem. They told him, ah, they want to kill you there. He said, my time has come. I want to go there to die. Wisdom. John 7:3-14. Everybody were going to a feast. Okay? So his disciples had gone. He stayed back. So his siblings, his younger brothers, you know, they envied him when he was alive. They were like, Oga, what are you doing at home now? John 7, can go and read it. They're like, Oga, what are you doing at home? You have power. It's not, you don't need to be showing your power at home. Baba, go outside and show your power to outside now. You everybody is out. You are here, staying at home. What are you doing at home? So they challenged him like that. So Jesus told them, he said, you can't understand. He said, you can go wherever you like, but me, there is a time I am meant to go. If I go at the wrong time, I will not come back with my head. So he stayed back for a while. While he was staying back, they were looking for him at the feast. They wanted to pick him and arrest him and go and kill him. So they were looking for him. After a long while, when he knows that a lot of crowd have gathered, he now stepped in, found his way to a place, stayed somewhere and began to preach. Now he knows that nobody can pick him among when they see him preaching. Wisdom. Wisdom. So they could not predict him. Like some of us that every time, everything we are doing, we put on social media for the world to see. They know where you are. They know when you are dead. They even know what you are doing. They know what you are eating. They know what you are drinking. Every single thing. People, you put your whole life for everybody to see. Now, they will not pick you up. You will say that, yeah, God, where is your face? So you need some basic wisdom that you are trusting God to keep you alive. Does not mean you should not exercise some form of wisdom to stay alive. God has his part to play. You have your own part to play. You can't be careless with your security. Hallelujah. You should follow instructions. The warning sign on the road says 80 kilometers per hour. You are going 150. This road sign says 60 kilometers per hour. You are going 180. So you need to apply some basic wisdom to also keep yourself alive. Matthew 10:16-17, the Bible says, be wise as Jesus said, he told his disciples, he said, be wise as servant, but harmless as dove. He said, I sent you forth as sheep among wolves. So be wise as serpent and harmless as dove. You must be wise. I believe one of the ways Paul was able to escape stoning to death was that he pretended like he was dead. And go and check the Bible. That's what the Bible says. They stoned him. They thought he was dead. And he lied down there as if he was dead. But the Bible says when the brethren came probably to go and bury him, when he noticed, he opened one eyes. He said, is that Timothy? Okay, Titus. Oh, they have all gone. Rabbi just stood up and said, I'm okay. No worry, I'm okay. Hallelujah. So you see, he employs on wisdom to keep himself alive. At other times, you know, they came, they wanted to come and accuse him. He looked at the crowd. He saw that, okay, what can I do here? This group wants me dead. This group wants me dead. What can I do? Let me turn their back against each other. That happened in the book of Acts. He turned their back against each other. The two groups that came to accuse him started fighting each other. Eventually, there was no case. They left him alone. Several means he employed to keep himself alive. Several means. So trusting God does not mean being careless. Does not mean applying wisdom. Not applying wisdom where there is need. There are several righteous men that have died sheepishly because they were not wise. Because they are naive. Because they just see the whole world as black and white. They don't know that there's a gray part of the world. What happened to the very first righteous man in the Bible? Who is the first righteous man in the Bible? Abel. What happened to him? Baba was killed. He was killed because he wasn't smart. He didn't understand that life is wicked. Otherwise, he would have watched his back. didn't understand that when God is blessing you, some people are angry. He didn't understand. He just stroll in, play with anybody, drink with anybody. Eventually, they killed him. Hallelujah. So being righteous does not spare you from dying like a chicken. God could not stop it. I hope you know that. Was God able to stop that? Go and read your Bible very well. The best thing God did was speak to Cain. He said, but that Cain, there is anger in your heart. I have created you to control anger. Don't allow this anger to control you. That's what God told him. Cain didn't answer and killed his brother. God couldn't stop that because he was not empowered to do so. Because he was not in control of the world. Because if the people that are called by his name do not humble themselves and pull down his hand to act, he won't be able to do anything. If there is nobody to stand between him as an head between the nation, he will not be able to do anything. God did his best to save Abel, but it didn't work. Because nobody laid claim on his power to protect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, trying not to die does not mean you are afraid of death. I just need to say that very quickly. You should never be afraid of death as a child of God. In fact, a child of God who is afraid of death is not like a child of God. You should never be afraid. But that I am not afraid to die does not mean I will allow you to kill me, sir. Abi? Okay, I'm not afraid of death. And I say, yeah, come and kill me. No. I won't let you kill me until it is my time to die. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I hope you know that Stephen also died because of the words of his mouth. Read the Bible very carefully. You see all these things there. You know? No, they caught him. They said they accused him of. They said he was speaking evil about the temple and all of that. And about Moses. So they brought him out. The Bible says his face was shining like the face of an angel. Hallelujah. Then they gave him audience. So yeah, speak. What do you have to say? Then Stephen began to speak. He preached the whole Bible from Genesis up unto Jesus. And they were enjoying the teaching. All of a sudden, Baba just changed the teaching. I started insulting them. Insulting them in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You brood of viper. They have warned you. You refuse to change. You know, by the time he heaped curses on them like that, Bible says they got very angry. And why they got very angry? They would not have killed him. He could have still been alive. But then Bible says God opened his eyes. He saw a vision. He saw Jesus at the right hand of God. Who made it compulsory that you must say what you see? That was the same thing that almost killed Joseph. Because you saw something, does not mean you must say it. So when he saw that vision, he declared, "Behold, I saw Jesus sitting at the right hand of God." The Bible says they stopped their ears. The only way for them to have peace was to kill him, and they killed him. That's how he died. Hallelujah. Paul said, "To the Jews, I behaved like a Jew. To the Hebrew, like Hebrew. To the Gentiles, like the Gentiles." It doesn't mean you are cunning. It doesn't mean you are lying. It doesn't mean you are cheating. You can't do all of those. But you must know what to say and where. Even Jesus, when they came to him and they said, they came to Jesus, they said, "Is it correct to pay tribute to Caesar?" He knew they wanted to find trouble with him. What did he do? Did he just answer them blatantly? He answered them with wisdom. Hallelujah. So God will give us wisdom in dealing with things, in speaking in the name of Jesus. All these ones are more physical and obvious. But how about the ones that are not physical, the ones that are not obvious? We need to be wise. We need to be careful. The whole world is not black and white. Remember, don't forget, the first righteous man, what happened to him? The man was killed like a dog. So don't be naive. Be wise in your dealings. Life is not only black and white. There is a gray aspect of life. And you must play your part to be careful. You are the custodian of your breath. And you must not allow anyone to take your breath from you until it is your time. And you have that responsibility to do that. One of our brothers in church some months ago, that was how he died. His neighbor carried him to go and buy cow. He told him that they are selling cow in his village at a very cheap price. He didn't inform anybody of the journey, didn't tell his wife. This man wanted to marry. I think it was probably 2 weeks to his wedding or thereabout. He didn't tell his wife where he was going. He didn't tell his parents. He didn't tell anybody who he was going with or why they were going there. He followed this guy to go and buy cow at a very cheap price. And then that was how they ended his life. They picked him up, got money, collected every money in his account, collected money from his parents. Eventually, they still killed him and cut his body away. Hallelujah. Now remember, wisdom is number two, it's not number one. Praise the Lord. Number one is the covenant of time and life. And number two is wisdom. You cannot be careful enough in a dangerous world like this. Hallelujah. But notwithstanding, you still need to play your part. Glory to Jesus. So let me go to number three, because of time. Time is fast spent now. And I want to complete this teaching. So what's the third way through which Jesus kept himself alive? I call it the supernatural means. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. You cannot survive in an evil world like ours without the supernatural. Men in power, they know how important it is to have supernatural power. They don't joke with it. They cross land and seas and skies to ensure that they fortify themselves spiritually. So one of the ways Jesus kept himself alive is also through supernatural power. And this supernatural power is what I call the ministry of angels. Hallelujah. The ministry of angels. Luke chapter 4, verse 28 to 30. Luke 4, 28 to 30. Hallelujah. And all day in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. They rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill where the city was built, that they may cast him down headlong. But what happened? He passed through the midst of them and went his way. Now this was an end of road for Jesus. Yes, he was wise as much as he can. Yes, he believes he cannot die before his time. But he reached a point which I call the end of the road, an evil day. When everything you have learned, everything you have known, failed. The only thing he had left was the supernatural. Hallelujah. No matter why they were carrying him, he was at rest. Because they must have carried him close to where they want to drop him before he left their midst. He was at rest. Number one, because he knows that it's God who take care of him. And that reason why he had rest, why they were carrying him, is because he is aware that he is protected. He is aware that he is being guided. Hallelujah. Let's take another scripture. 2 Kings. Chapter 6. Verse 15 to 20. 2 Kings chapter 6. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? Now, Elisha and his servants were sleeping in the house, in a house. And, you know, Elisha has been telling the king of Samaria what is happening in Syria. Hallelujah. So when you have been tipping your people about the enemy, and one day you wake up and notice that those people you were tipping, they surround your house, you should have known that. You know who they came there for. Hallelujah. So when they woke up and saw soldiers of that, the enemy they have been exposing, saw it around their home, they knew they were in trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what did Elisha say? Elisha said something very remarkable. Please never forget this scripture. 2 Kings 6, verse 16. He said, and he answered and said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Hallelujah. This scripture should change your life. This scripture should change your life. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Let the enemy come in thousands. And it's very rare for enemies to come in thousands. Let the enemy come in 30s and 40s. At least that's the situation we have in our own country now. You just see hoodlums come in with buses. Three buses packed full, everybody armed. What is the position a child of God should maintain in a case like that? In a day like that, that looks like an evil day, what is the position of a child of God? They that be with us are more than they that be with them. But if you have not learned to practice and understand this principle, you cannot use a weapon you have not practiced. That is why David could not wear Saul's armor to fight. He said, I've not practiced it. I'm sorry. If you have not practiced it, if you have not lived your life daily with the understanding that you are not alone, with the understanding that you have angels watching over you, hallelujah, then you won't be able to use it on a day like that. Some of you cannot even stay alone in the dark. You'll be afraid because you thought that you are alone. But you are never alone. Angels are with you. They that be with you are more than they that be with the world. You need to come to a firm understanding and a firm grasp. You must come to oneness with the understanding that God has given me angels that are watching me. I don't need to see them. I don't need to feel them. The Bible says it. I believe it. Elijah did not need to see the angels. He just knew. Hallelujah. He saw 200, 500 soldiers. He just looked at them. His boy, who has no spiritual insight, was afraid. But he was not afraid. He knows that they that be with him are more than they that be with him. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So you see, for you to be able to live protected, you must learn to take advantage of the ministry of angels. You must understand that they are watching over you, they are guiding you. I remember back then when I found out this scripture, anytime I'm on a bike, I always picture four angels, each one at, you know, as I'm on that bike, the bike is carrying me, I picture that those four angels are flying with me, you know, that kind of convoy. Hallelujah. I picture it like that we are going together. We are riding together, guiding, keeping, watching. Matthew 26, 51 to 51, 54. They wanted to come and arrest Jesus. And you know, of course, his time had come. Then Peter carried sword. Peter caught somebody's ear. Jesus said, No. I have never needed physical protection. He said, Peter, don't you understand? Can we frame it to read it? He said, Peter, don't you understand that as I am sitting down, as I am standing here, I can ask my Father. Please take notes. You have no business speaking to an angel. Read your Bibles properly, you see that. You have no business commanding or speaking to an angel. When you need the ministry of an angel, you speak to the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts, he will command his army. It's not your duty to command them. Hallelujah. If you read the story of Elisha in verse 17, he didn't speak, even though he knew the angels were guiding him, he didn't speak to the angels. You can't speak to an angel. You can't command an angel. You speak to the one who sent them. Hallelujah. He said, Father. He said, Lord, I ask. He couldn't call God Father back then. So he said, Lord, I pray you, please blind the eyes of those that came to arrest him. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So Jesus said, Jesus could have said, I can command angels. No, he didn't. He was giving us an example. Remember, the Father loves him just the way he loves us. So he told his disciples, he said, don't you understand that right now I can ask my Father for 12 legions of angels? You know what that means? They are few. One way. Hallelujah. These people that came to fight me, they are too small. If I need 12 legions of angels, I can get them now. Do you know what a legion is? A legion in the Roman army is 6,826 soldiers. 6,826 soldiers makes a legion. A legion consists of 6,100 foot soldiers and 726 horsemen. That's a legion. 6,826 soldiers make a legion. And Jesus said, I can ask my Father for 12 of them. 12 of them will be 81,912 soldiers. In this case, 81,912 angels for just one small mission. So if I need 81,000 angels now, if I ask my Father, I will send them. And these angels, they are not coming smiling. They are coming to kill. Please take note. Jesus does not exaggerate. He wasn't bluffing. He wasn't saying make believe. If he said I can ask, it means he can ask. Probably he had been asking before. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Bible says no lie can be found in him. So if he says he can ask for 81,000 soldiers, 81,000 angels to come to his aid, it means he can ask. And that also means that since every privilege available to Jesus is available to me as a child of God, if Jesus can command 81,000 angels, ask from the Father and get it, I can get it also. So when it looks like the road is blocked, when it looks like there is no other way, I can always ask my Father for the ministry of angels and I'll be protected and I'll be saved. Hallelujah. Maybe you don't know the power of just one angel. 2 Kings 19 verse 35. Only one angel was sent to the camp of the enemy. Only one angel. And that angel killed 185,000 people in one night. One angel. This is not 185,000 mere men. They were 185,000 soldiers. One angel in one single night killed all of them. It's not God that killed them.
One angel was sent to do the mission. And Jesus is saying, I can ask my Father for 81,912 of such angels if I need them. Hallelujah. Somehow, our generation is losing touch on the ministry of angels. And because some denominations have used angels the wrong way, some of us Pentecostals have chosen to have nothing to do with angels. But the Bible says, Hebrews 1:14, the Bible says, they are ministering spirit. They are sent out to those who will be the heirs of salvation. They are given for us. Psalm 91, verse 11, the Bible says, he shall give his angels charge over you. God will command his angels. His angels, they will keep you. Where? In all thy way. Can we read that? Psalm 91, verse 11. It says, he shall give his angels charge to keep you in all your ways. If this is the only scripture you can take from here today, just hold it. In all my ways, God will command his angels to watch over me. So whether I'm at home, on the field, or at work, or on the road, or in the air, or on the sea, probably even under the sea. Bible says he will give his angels charge over me. They will watch me. They will ensure that no single hair on my head is removed. As long as my time has not come, every attempt by the enemy or by anyone to take my life or to kill me or to steal my peace or put me or my family or my loved ones in a dangerous position cannot be accomplished. Why? I've got angels watching over me. They are not mere bouncers with muscles. They are real killers. They can kill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the early church, you see how an angel killed Herod. Just gave the guy one slap. Backhand. Bah. Maggot hurt him. Everybody knew it was angel that slapped him. Hallelujah. An angel rescued Peter. An angel protected Paul when he was stoned. An angel rescued the apostles from prisons. People saw angels physically doing things. But gradually, the ministry of angels is we are starting to forget that there are angels in our midst. There are angels on assignment. There are angels around us. Not angels in human form. I mean real angels. Real ministry spirit, flaming of fire angels. That they are there to secure you, to keep you, to protect you. Hallelujah. So you know what Elisha did? Elisha said, Father, blind their eyes so that they will not recognize or know me. And God said, no problem, I'll do that. And the angels swung to action, put their finger in all their eyes. They couldn't see properly anymore. And Elisha, after saying that, went to introduce himself to the angels. Soldiers. Before then, he told his servant, he said, they that be with us are made and they that be with them. That one was like, Oga, now only two of us, they here, you are saying they that be with us are more than they that be with them. He said, no problem. He now prayed to God. He said, Father, open the eyes of my servant. Hallelujah. Open his eyes, let him see. He is blind. He is blind. Lord, open his eyes. The Bible says, when God opened the eye of that servant, what happens? The Bible says, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The mountain was filled with horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I remember the way Catherine Coleman said it. He said, just one little preacher
God sent more than the resources he needed for his protection. One angel could do the work, but God said, no. I'm not going to send one. I will send hundreds of angels to go and watch over him. Hallelujah. And if God can do it for Elisha, if he can do it for Jesus, he can do the same for you. You've got angels that are ordained of God to protect you and watch over you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So quickly, I'm going to just mention some four things you need to be careful of if you are going to operate in God's divine protection. Number one, fear. You must not be afraid. Fear will do danger to you. Jesus said, don't fear those that can kill the body. Never you be afraid. You must be bold. Bible says the righteous is bold as a lion. You must be bold like the Hebrew. You must be fearless. Number two, you must not dwell in sin. Of course, there is provision for committing sin, but there's no provision for dwelling in sin. I hope you know that. There is provision for you. If you commit a sin, you can say, God, I'm sorry, and deal with it. You can remember that there's an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, and get it over with. But God cannot help you if you decide to dwell in your sin. So do not dwell. If you dwell in sin, you can weaken your armor of protection. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. When God puts a shield around you, if you allow sin to enter, that same road through which sin entered, Satan can enter. Evil can enter. Hallelujah. So you must be deliberate about living holy. But if you commit sin, the Bible says, remember we are an advocate. Deal with the sin and move on. Don't sit there. Don't dwell there. Don't wait till the next church service. Don't wait till when I'll be able to tell pastor. Speak to your father immediately. Deal with the sin and keep moving. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Number three, you must be gentle. By gentle here, I mean that you must not be forceful. You must not fight to get things done your own way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You must be gentle. God must be your sufficiency. When you fight too hard to get things, if you're not careful, you'll be getting something God does not give you. And when you get something God does not give you, that thing can be harmful to you. If you force yourself to go to a place where God did not ordain for you to go, you see every roadblock that says you can't go. You cheated and lied. Get yourself there. That place may kill you. Hallelujah. That place may kill you. Bible says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the court of their God. Bible says, it is those that dwell in that place. That is where God commands the blessing. So when you are in a place where God wants you to be, God sends all the resources. God will send your angels there. But if God sends your angel to a place where you are not there and you are somewhere else, you may be without protection. So never fight for something. Never fight for things. There are people who have escaped auto crash only because they failed to fight for a seat. Somebody just said, it's my seat. I just want you to buy something now. He said, no. Go and sit elsewhere. Go and sit elsewhere. And that place where he sat, when the accident happened, that person died first. So one of the ways God will protect you is by keeping you in the arms of gentleness. In the arm of not insisting in your way. When you drag something with somebody for two, when you drag, I pull it a little, you pull it, let it go. When you drag things with people too much, you will be dragging yourself into the will of the devil and out of the will of God. Lastly, be submissive to the will of God. James 4:7, the Bible says, submit yourself to God, receive devil and he flee from you. You must be surrendered to the will of God. You must not go about just trying to do your own thing, your own way, the way you like. When you try to live the way you like, you can also will yourself out of God's plan and purpose for your life and will yourself out of God's security. The man of God said many years ago that the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. It does not matter where you are. The best place to ever be. There are people who are the north, as dangerous as it is, there are people that are living there and nothing bad is happening to them. God is protecting them. Because that is where they are meant to be. And there are people who will run away from there and come and stay where they think is safe, and that's where death will kill them. Hallelujah. So the safest place, the best place, where God commands the blessing, where God commands the peace, the prosperity, the joy, the peace, is always try to remain in the center of God's will for your life. You cannot do it perfectly. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledging and redirect your path. So the most important thing to do is to ensure that you commit your way into the hands of God and say, God, it is not in me that walketh to direct his path. Lord, I submit myself to you. Lead me, direct me. If you don't want this for me, then take it away. If you don't want that for me, then take it away. Lord, all I want is what you want for me. And when you do all of these, you'll be able to stay in the center of God's will. And you can be sure of God's 100% protection. And I pray that will be your portion in the name of Jesus. This is protection for you, for your children, for your husband, for your wife, for your properties, for your business, for your building, for your car, everything you have. They are protected by God. They are protected. So you must understand this privilege in Christ Jesus and take full use of it. And I pray as you do, the Lord will help you in the name of Jesus. I believe you have been blessed. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us. Thank you because your word is true. Thank you because your word is yes and your word is amen. Thank you for, because all we have is your word. If your word was not true, then we could not boast. Then the enemy would have swallowed us quickly. You say, you see this one that is boasting. So you think you are protected. That be correct, I will catch you. But that will be because your word is not true. Well, because your word is true, we can glory in you. We can glory in your promise. And we can have the assurance and the faith and the boldness and the confidence that no evil can come near us and no plague can come near our dwelling. 1,000 may fall at our right, 10,000 may fall at our left. They shall not come near us. This is our promise. This is our confidence in Christ Jesus. And through him, the Bible says, all the promises of God are in him, yes, and amen, unto the glory of God by us. Therefore, we lay hold on your promise of protection. We lay hold on your covenant of peace, your covenant of life, your covenant of time. We lay hold on your wisdom. We lay hold on your ministry of angels, and we are protected and we are kept by your mighty hand in the name of Jesus. Never again will there be evil in our surroundings. If there is a shout, it will be a shout of joy. If there are tears, it will be a tears of joy. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more trouble, no more struggle, no more turmoil. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Therefore, in our life, it shall be peace, peace, peace all the way in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. See you again next week as we continue in this series. The Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you in the name of Jesus. Have a wonderful weekend ahead and God bless you.
The keeper of Israel, he will never sleep no slumber. He is watching over me. I say the keeper of Israel will never sleep no slumber. He is watching over me day and night. He is watching over me. I sleep and I wake because he is watching over me. I know the keeper of Israel, He'll never ever sleep, no slumber, no, no, because he's watching over me. I say the keeper of Israel will never sleep nor slumber, because he's watching over me day and night. He's watching over me in the heat and in the cold times. He's watching over me. I sleep and I awake only because he's watching over me.